Okay, good afternoon. Like she said, my name is Rebecca Lopez. There we go. So this is my first time presenting at APHA, and I'm just thrilled to be here. The title of my talk is one that does not roll off the tongue, so hopefully I will do a good job of explaining it. But it's important to note that the project I'm going to talk about today comes from the training program where I work. It's a 3-year family medicine residency program. We are based in Fresno, California, and we are affiliated with UC San Francisco. And I have nothing to disclose. Okay, so we were primarily interested in two things. The first is the idea that you can't exclude or ignore the psychosocial with the medical. Nothing new, but we decided as part of a larger resident training grant that we wanted to focus on that part of the training for the residents. We want them to feel comfortable with being faced with a patient with depression or a substance abuse issue and know how to handle it. So the second thing we were interested in is the idea that you need to be able to do all of that, address the psychosocial, and do so even when you and the patient don't speak the same language or have a different culture. So a brief roadmap of where I'm going to go in the talk. We'll give some rationale. We'll talk about what we set out to do and how we set out to do it. We'll look at some brief video clips, our baseline outcomes, and as well what we took away from the project. So the need is not going to be surprising to anybody in the room. It's the idea that family medicine residents and really all primary care providers need to be able to address complex psychosocial issues. Depression is a huge one, especially for primary care providers in like rural areas where they are the health clinic for a patient. You know, they need to be able to screen for depression and have some short-term and maybe long-term interventions in mind. Family violence is another one that was the focus of our grant, affecting 1 in 3 patients cared for by a family doctor. And again, all of that in the context of cultural competency, doing it, being able to address it in a patient, different culture or different language. So interpreter use was kind of a skill that we especially focused on. We feel that it really is a separate skill, just like everything else that's part of medical training. Some people are naturally better at it than others. So again, we wanted to make this a part of the training for our residents. So specifically, our purpose was to assess resident performance in standardized patient encounters in complex psychosocial cases, both with and without an interpreter. So 3 years ago, I did not know what a standardized patient was. So if anybody else is in that boat, it's essentially an actor who's trained to portray a specific patient with a specific issue. The key here is the word standardized. So it's the idea that they will respond to a common question that the doctor would ask in the exact same way in terms of not only the words they use, but their body language. So there's lots of training that goes into that, and it's not something that our program had expertise in, so we were able to contract with a bigger school of medicine that was able to provide the standardized patients for our project. So OSCE is another term that 3 years ago I didn't know what it was, so clearly I've come a long way. It's Objective Structured Clinical Exam. It's basically taking the standardized patient methodology and applying it in a more formal setting. So usually the trainee will see multiple standardized patient encounters or cases in a given setting. And then you also add a formal assessment component to it. So the OSCE that we did had 4 cases, and I'll show you a table in a second. 2 of them required an interpreter, and two did not. So for every resident, we had them do 1 interpreter case and 1 non-interpreter case. They were evaluated by faculty, we call them faculty observers, based on the ACGME competencies. So all of this took place in our clinical skills lab, which is basically a big lab set up with rooms that look like ordinary clinic exam rooms, except for there's a camera in the ceiling and a camera by the sink. And there's another large room where all the faculty observers sit with headphones and are, have a live feed to the computer in front of them, everything that's going on in the exam room. So the setup was that the resident would have 20 minutes to encounter with the standardized patient, and then that was followed by a 10-minute debrief session led by the faculty observer. So the resident got feedback from the faculty observer, but also importantly from the standardized patient and the interpreter when it was an interpreter case. So here are the cases we chose for our OSCE. The left column is the presentation, the right is basically the underlying issue that we hoped the resident would get to by asking the right questions and listening. So a new mom with fatigue who really had postpartum depression, a man with terminal prostate cancer who was self-medicating because of his chronic pain, a monolingual Vietnamese female with headaches who actually was a victim of domestic violence, monolingual Spanish female with uncontrolled diabetes who was not taking her medication for cultural reasons and health literacy. So you can see that there are some leaps that are probably easier to get to than others. So what we're going to look at now is a short, given the time constraint, short video clip from one of the diabetes case interactions. It's basically the first minute from when the resident walked into the room, saw the patient and interpreter, and how she went about setting it up.
Is this Lynn Martinez?
Yes, it's Lynn Martinez. Hi, I'm Dr. Tiernanger. Will you introduce
yourself?
Yes,
please.
So, I guess we'll have you two sit on the panel and sit right next to Ms. Martinez.
So, the panel is Ms. Martinez.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say.
So, how do you want
to go? Nice to meet you. So, then today what we're interpreting, we're trying to do it in the first person for both of us. So, instead of saying he or she, sorry. And then just say exactly what I was saying and then what Ms. Martinez is saying.
So this is the cool one, which is
so what brings you in today?
Okay, so you can see she was clearly nervous, but she did do a good job of sort of setting the stage, giving the interpreter some rules to follow. So next we're gonna see a short video clip from the domestic violence case, which was the other interpreter case. This one is Vietnamese. And it's sort of the same thing. I think in this one, the resident has already walked in and is washing his hands when it starts.
So you're the interpreter?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, hi, Dr. Dominguez, nice to meet you. Okay, we can sit, yeah? Let me just have a seat over here. So, Ms. Nguyen, so you speak no English?
Go open up the agenda.
Just a little bit. Okay, so it'll be probably best if we use the interpreter.
My friend. Yes.
Okay, so what brings you here today?
Okay, so again, he did a fairly good job of he did a better job of making introductions. Didn't quite give the same kind of rules specific that the first resident did. And then you can notice the difference in the way they set up the arrangement, and that's something we'll talk about in a later slide. So in terms of our baseline outcomes, we were able to run 27 residents through our OSCE, which was pretty good considering we have 33 total. We were not surprised to find that they were most challenged by the domestic violence case, and we were not surprised to find that they performed the best on the postpartum depression case. They felt comfortable with seeing a new young mom and knowing that they needed to ask the right questions to figure out whether or not she might have postpartum depression. The domestic violence case was a harder leap. And we knew that going in. Part of, it's hard to see from the video, but part of that case was also some makeup bruising that the actress wore on her wrists. And it was interesting, you know, she again standardized, you know, had cues of, it was always present and there were a certain number of times she raised her arms to describe her headache and things. But it still was just a really tough case, and it would probably be a tough case when you speak the same language as the patient, and especially tough when you're using an interpreter. So it was nice for us to see that 80% of our residents found it found the OSCE a helpful learning tool and at least didn't hate it. This was honestly, you know, the first OSCE standardized patient experience in the history of our residency program. So we really weren't sure what the residents were going to think. But we got very good feedback and used that feedback in preparing for a second OSCE, which we actually just completed a couple months ago. So we'll move on. So this graph here shows the mean performance according to the ACGME core competencies. Those are the six competencies on the bottom. And this is based on, you know, the faculty observer evaluations. And the blue bars are the interpreter cases. The maroon bars are the non-interpreter cases. So you can see it's overall fairly similar. While we didn't find a statistically significant difference, you'll notice that patient care and communication had the greatest difference. So communication is probably not hard to figure out why that might be. Patient care is it's not as clear why that might be lower in the interpreter cases. So this graph shows items that were basically missed or not done, again, based on the faculty observer evaluations. So the first two bars pertain to all 27 residents, because every resident had at least one interpreter case. So 30% didn't make any kind of introduction to the interpreter. The videos that I showed, those particular residents, for the most part, I think at least one for sure, you know, did a better job of making that kind of introduction. 50% didn't make any kind of introduction between the interpreter and the patient. Again, that's part of that setting the stage. There were certainly plenty of residents that just kind of walked in and pointed to chairs and just, you know, got started. So the remaining three bars pertain to the residents who had the domestic violence case. So the N is 14. And again, it just kind of goes to show some of the measures that made that particular case a challenge. So more than, or 50% or more, you know, didn't address the frequency of abuse, didn't talk to the patient about not needing to be a victim, didn't explore her perspective on domestic violence. Part of that is because some of them didn't even completely missed it. So these pictures are just to give you an idea of some of the arrangements that the residents chose and how they set up the interpreter and the patient. So the red bars show the resident to the patient, which for the most part is, you know, fine. They can all make eye contact. The yellow bars here are the interpreter to the patient. And you can see the top two, if you connected the lines, would make sort of a nice triangle. The bottom two, they probably got some feedback on maybe not setting it up that way again, mostly because, let's see, on the bottom left, the interpreter and the patient can't make very good eye contact. And on the bottom right, there was a lot of, you know, this going on because they were right next to each other. So limitations, you know, it's a small sample. There were certainly pre-existing conditions We have residents from all kinds of cultural backgrounds, and there were certain instances where that showed more than others. Our faculty evaluators, the particular kind of feedback they were giving comes a lot more naturally than others, so we learned that we definitely needed some faculty development training before our second one, so we were able to put that in place. What we took away from it is that including interpreters in OSCE cases is valuable, in particular the real-time feedback that the interpreters were able to give the residents. That's just something that they wouldn't get in any other setting, certainly not in the real clinic. And then that video review, they reviewed the videos a couple months later with a behavioral science faculty, and it just kind of brings it all home. It's a good refresher. And then it was nice that the residents were able to tell us as a program, you know, these are some of the issues, we would like some additional lectures or training or guest speakers. So it's been a nice opportunity for us to kind of meet them in areas where they actually are identifying areas themselves. So our next steps, like I mentioned, we just had our second OSCE following a very similar format. And we have a third in place for next year. So we hope to have some longitudinal data, especially for the interns who participated the first year. We'll be able to follow them, you know, all through the 3 years and see what we find. So I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues and our HRSA training grants. Thank you very much.